2024, and the time is 12:30 p.m. I now call to order this meeting of the Board of Directors of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas. This meeting is being held in person in the office of the Surplus Line Stamping Office, 1601 East Pflugerville Parkway, Suite 3301, Pflugerville, Texas, 78660. Written notice of this meeting, the proposed agenda, and all related meeting materials were provided to the Texas Department of Insurance, Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division, and her designees on December 3rd, 2024, in accordance with the Surplus Lines Stamping Office of Texas Plan of Operation, Section 2C2. Written notice of this meeting and the related agenda were submitted to the Office of the Secretary of State on December 6, 2024, for publication in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. All board members were notified of this meeting on December 3rd, 2024. A conference call-in number was provided to members of the public in the public meeting notice. I will now call the roll to confirm which board members are participating in today's meeting. Jason Cables.
Here.
Pete Harrison.
Here.
Jeff Klein, Vice Chair.
Present in person.
Mark Koch.
Present.
Here.
Person.
Nick Lawrence. I believe he is not able to join for this one. Leslie Liljenberg, Secretary.
Present via Teams.
Leslie Milvo. She is also not able to join. And Ezekiel Nathal.
Present.
And I'd like to remind the board members who are participating via Teams, please keep your cameras on if possible. A quorum of five or more members is present pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.125B2 and the Stamping Office Plan of Operations Section 2C2. The following Stamping Office management staff, council, consultants, and liaisons are present. Please affirm your attendance for the record when I call your name. Greg Brandon, Executive Director. Don Ogg, Director of Finance. Denise Samasquita, Director of Human Resources. Diane Herrera, Director of Operations.
Present via Teams.
Yolanda Stone, Director of IT.
Present via Teams.
Dan Strickland, General Counsel.
Present.
Paul Rainey, TSLA Liaison.
Present.
Marissa Gomez.
Present.
And are there any additional, sorry.
Fermina.
Fermina, also Ready. Present. Are there any additional Stamping Office staff members, liaisons, or consultants attending? Denise, I believe you have the list.
Yes, the following are SLTX employees, and they are via Teams. Dalton Moore, Christian Porter, Robin Porter, and Toby Peck.
We have from, are there any representatives of the Texas Department of Insurance, the Texas Comptroller, or legislative offices attending in person via telephone? I believe Andrew Guerrero from TDI.
Yes, Andrew Guerrero from TDI.
And Kretzler, TDI.
Great. Thank you. Before we get started, have a few housekeeping item reminders. Antitrust activity or discussion are prohibited at all stamping office functions. This prohibition includes the exchange of information concerning individual company rates, coverages, market practices, claim settlement practices, expenses, or any other competitive aspect of an individual company's operation. We will not have a public comment section. Public and media attendees listening by telephone should mute their lines at all times. Representatives of state agencies and board members of the public are welcome to observe or record this board meeting, but please refrain from asking questions or interjecting comments during the board's deliberations. The state agency personnel present may be asked questions about their agency's policies if those questions relate to an agenda item. Members, council, and staff should identify themselves by full name when speaking. Please mute your microphone or telephone when not speaking. We'd also like to introduce a couple new members to our group. Before we start the first agenda item, I have one announcement. As some of you may have heard, Stan Strickland, our general counsel with Mitchell Williams, will be leaving us to join the chief legal office of USAA. I want to thank you for your service with us, Stan, and wish you all the best going forward. But also at this time, I'd like to welcome two of Stan's partners in the firm, Michael Norred and Jeff McWirt, who will be providing our general counsel services going forward. Gentlemen, please feel free to say a few words and introduce yourselves.
Yeah, Michael Norred, and I'm looking forward to working
with each of you. I've known Stan for a long time, and he's counsel. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. I'll make myself available.
Jeff McWhirt, I'll echo Michael's comments. Stan said a lot of great things about this organization. From my practice, I've dealt with the stamping office a number of times as well and always had a experience. So happy to be here and help facilitate whatever issues or questions.
Thank you, Michael and Jeff, for joining us today and look forward to working with you going forward. Moving on to item 2, discussion and appropriate approval of October 29, 2024 meeting minutes. Everyone was provided a copy of the minutes from our October 29th meeting. Are there any corrections? Any further discussion? There being no further discussion, do we have a motion to approve the October 29th, 2023 minutes?
Rothall makes a motion.
Second?
Jason Cables, second.
Second on Teams.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say aye. No. The ayes have and the motion passes. Okay. Discussion and appropriate action for the Finance and Audit Committee report and the year-to-date financial review and charter review. Open the floor to Mr. Jason Cables for this agenda item.
Thank you, Garrett. The Finance and Audit Committee met earlier today. In accordance with the Stamping Office Plan of Operations, Section 2C11, the committee conducted an annual review of its charter. At this time, the committee is recommending to the board that no changes be made to its charter. We also received a presentation from the Stamping Office 2024 year-to-date review, Donna Ogg, the Stamping Office Director of Finance. Donna is here to present the review to the board. Donna?
All right, this is still hard to read, but we're presenting November financial results. So our stamping fees were actually under budget, something we don't see a whole lot, but hopefully we will. by 15% in November, or $83,800, and we were over budget by 1%, $72,800 year to date. Our investment income was greater than budgeted by 72% or $43,000 in November and over for the year of $65,000, which is $478,500 for the year. So that meant that our investments are outperforming what we were projecting the income would be this year. Total operating expenses were over budget for November by $750,900, or 117%, and over 11,000 for the year, which is 0.01%. Salaries and benefits were over budget, 190%, $746,800 for the month, and over budget 5%, or $248,500 year to date. The reason for this overage is we funded our pension for 2023 and 2024. In our budget for this line item for the year 2024, we'd budgeted for 1 year's worth of pension. To offset some of that overage, we were still 2 heads short on what was budgeted for the year. And we were under budget in other employee benefits that offset the overage by about $662,000. Professional services were over budget by 46% or $15,300 for November, and under budget 3% or $10,500 year to date. And in the IT department, the underage is due to RSI not being engaged since we rolled the new version of the database, along with MIS ending earlier than expected. And then there was an overage for November was in the operations department as the Lemon Light invoices came in different months than were budgeted. So it's not a year-to-date overage, it's just a month-over-month. Conference and education were under budget 31% or a little over $1,000 for November. And under 65% or $60,700 for the year due to the timing and quantity of budgeted conferences and trips. Travel and entertainment were under budget 50% or $1,700 for the month and 46% or $32,600 for the year for the same reason as I mentioned about conferences. With less being spent on our board meetings, saving almost $17,000. Occupancy and operating expenses were under budget, $16,000 or 37% for the month, and under $209,500 or 40% for the year. And the biggest contributor to this is the reclassification of lease expense from lease expense to amortization. GASB issued a new rule that states we need to capitalize our three leases, which are office, copier, and postage machines. And so instead of hitting lease expense, you need to capitalize it. We put those leases on our balance sheet, and we hit amortization of those leases each month. So this, what you're seeing for this year is a reclass, because when we budgeted for 24, we didn't have this rule in place. And so instead of, I moved our what we expensed into from lease expense down to amortization. So one category is going to be under, the other will be over. But for 25, I've adjusted our budget to take care of that. So we won't see this variance next year. There were additional categories that contribute to being under budget. One being software maintenance, which was under $79,000 for the year, and computer equipment was under $21,580. In general and administrative, we were over $10,000 or $10,700 or 7% for November. And year to date, we were over $117,000. And that's, again, that reclass into amortization that was not budgeted. And also with the capital leases, there's also an associated interest expense that, again, was not budgeted. So that caused an overage in interest of $5,160. Contingency expense, which was not used, resulted in almost $3,200 savings for the month and a little over $41,000 for the year. So we had an operating loss of $800,300 for November and $246,400 operating loss year to date. We had budgeted for an operating loss of $8,700 and a loss of $786,700 through November. The change in investment fair market value was a decrease of approximately $12,400 for November and $239,300 increase year to date. Are there any questions?
This is Garrett Sprouse. I just want to point out that the budget for the stamping fees for year to date was only off by 1%, which is very impressive to get that close in a somewhat volatile market.
Yes, thank you. That's a Christian Robinson doing his crystal ball calculation magic.
It was a fee change year, so there's a lot of variables in this. So yeah, shows you how good Christian is now.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Zach. Okay, we can go on to the unrestricted undesignated. So we went into 2024 with a fund balance of almost $32.7 million, which was a little over $20 million over the max that we were supposed to maintain per plan of operation, which for 24 was $12,537,946. So November's year-to-date net loss of $7,048 resulted in a fund balance at the end of November of $32,680,000. $3,500, which is $20,142,519 over our current max. Any questions? That concludes my presentation.
Is there any further discussion or any questions on this item? Dog, do you have a recommendation to the board for a motion at this time?
No, I do not.
Thank you, Donna and Jason. Moving on to the next item, the discussion and appropriate action, the Plan of Operations Committee report and charter review with Jeff Klein. And I'll open the floor to Mr. Klein for this agenda item.
Thank you, Garrett. Our Plan of Operation Committee met earlier today, as it's required by the Plan of Operations Section 2C11 to review its charter on an annual basis. We had made a review of the charter last year, made a few technical changes, but at this time the committee is recommending to the board that no further changes be made this year to its charter. That concludes my lengthy report.
Thank you, Jeff. Is there any further discussion or any questions on this item? Jeff, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Moving on to the next item, discussion and appropriate action for the cyber insurance policy renewal. And I'll open the floor to Mr. Greg Brandon, the executive director, to present.
Thank you, Garrett. So just a reminder, plan of operation requirement 3A8, because most of you might be thinking, didn't we just talk about insurance at the last meeting? And you're right, we did it. But we're required by the plan of operation to do this anytime prior to procurement or renewal. So you can see there, we've got to review all of this, summarize what we have and what's underlying that last sentence prior to procurement and renewal. So this cyber policy is a policy that renews in January. So it's off cycle compared to we went over in September. So we've got one more policy to renew and go over. So go to the next slide for me. The insurance program is the cyber liability. This is the only one renewing in January. So the current policy expires January 7th, 2025. Plus remains our broker. And you can see there's a slight difference between 2024 premium and 2025 premium. So the primary program went up about $900. And the excess went down about $1,200. So we're netting out to almost $300 difference, lower premium than what we had for renewals last year. Coverage details, you can see it's privacy and security liability. The limits are $3 million on the primary. That is Spinnaker Insurance, which is commonly known as Cowbell. And then the excess is a $2 million limit on top of that. And that is Continental Casualty Company. We do have a $50,000 deductible. So really no changes to the coverage details at all, and just a slightly lower price. So kudos to Plus for a good renewal cycle for this particular program.
Is there any further discussion or any questions at this time? Hearing none, Mr. Brandon, do you have a recommendation for a board motion at this time?
Yes, I recommend that the board approve the cyber insurance policy renewal as presented.
Is there a motion for the board to approve the renewal of the cyber insurance policy as presented today?
So move, Jeff Klein.
Second?
Second.
Bart Koch.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Ayes have it, and the motion passes. Moving on to item number 6, discussion appropriate action, the executive director update. I open the floor once again to Mr. Greg Brandon, the executive director, to present.
Thank you. So as usual, I'd like to start off with a company overview. You can see the four pillars of the organization remain intact. So we have Cheyenne over operations, Shawanda over IT, Donna over our finances, and Denise over HR. One, I'll call it a big addition, you can see underneath Sholanda's team, we added front-end developer. His name is Casper, and he joined our organization on December 2nd, so just a few weeks ago. He is our front-end guy. So you may recall from previous discussions, we talked a lot about being fully staffed, particularly on the IT side. And Casper rounds out our staffing and hiring for the year, quite frankly. So just for a reminder or a summary, we hired three operations folks and two IT folks this year. So it's been a big year for hiring for us. And I'm proud to say that what you see there is the team. We don't have any staffing in the budget for next year. We are 27 and we consider that to be fully staffed. And for my tenure here anyway, this is the first time we've ever been fully staffed. So we're very proud of that for the organization. Next slide. So we'll talk a little bit about premium. You can see it's through November. Still exceeding records. Go to the bar chart. Bars of the last 4 years, 2020 through 2023, and then the blue line above it is 2024. And so November was 1.15 billion, and you can see at the top there, year to date through November, we've had 15.15 billion reported to us. So that that exceeds the 14.5 last year and is the highest number ever reported to us for a year, and the year's not over. So it's a big, another big year for premium in the surplus lines world. On to the next slide on item count. This is another one, not quite as high. We're not breaking any records for November, but it's still a fairly substantial number. 106,579 things came through the door in November. So another high item count month, and you can see for the year, it was a substantial year for us. Probably worth pointing out here that the axis doesn't start at zero over on the y-axis. It starts at 65,000, just a little easier to differentiate the changes in the numbers that way, but it was a big year for us. You can see 1.2 million year-to-date item count, and we will definitely set a record by the end of the year or total item count for 2024 as well. Next slide is specific to policy count. Now, policy count is a sub element of item count, right? So a lot of what comes to us, about a third of everything that comes to us is related to a policy, but on an actual policy. So there's a lot of amendments and endorsements and cancellations, things like that. So when you strip all of that out and just go strictly for the policies, you can see it was all really another big year. For the month, it was a little bit lower than November of 2023 at 66,243. But for the year, you can see almost 760,000 policies. That's a very substantial. So it's a very busy time of year for the stamping office. And I'm super proud of our organization for having the capacity to digest all of this that's been thrown at us over the year. It's been really a record year in a lot of ways. And in between all that, we hired three new folks in operations and folks in IT. So it was a big year for everybody. And I'm super proud of the team for being able to handle all of this kind of record performance throughout the duration of the year. Concludes my report.
For any further discussion or any questions on this item? Mr. Brandon, do you have a recommendation for a board motion at this time?
I do not.
Thank you, Greg. Moving on to discussion and appropriate action for the operations director update and 2025 Lemon Light video content proposal. This time I will open the floor to Cheyenne Herrera, the director of operations, to present the operations update and present the 2025 Lemon Light content proposal.
Thank you, Garrett. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll really just start out with an update on the new hire, since we did pick up three new policy analysts starting July 8th. That's Jennifer, Robin, and Ruben. They started their training journey about 4 months ago, but in early November, they've transitioned out of our test or training environment, making all of their filings now in the live environment. This four-month transition, all while demonstrating stable accuracy at a weight rate that's well above our required 97% accuracy rate, is by far the quickest in SLTX training history for this type of transition. All of the feedback that we're hearing from the training team continues to be super positive, and all of the new PAs, their currently logged accuracy is beyond exceptional. It's in the high 98 to mid 99 percent accuracy range, which is fantastic, right? We're expecting and continuing to expect great things from this team. For the existing folks, again, no surprise. I feel like every time I give this update, it's a broken record. The performance remains outstanding. Like Greg was saying earlier, we have a really great team and everyone is gelled and meshed very well. So far, as we're winding down the year, everyone's working on closing out the year, just a few more weeks in December. And each team member is finalizing all of their personal and professional goals for 2025 this week. We continue to focus on what we consider practice makes progress and progress makes perfect, and we use a layered and hands-on approach. And additionally, I did want to point out a few promotions that we have in operations that will be effective January 1st. So we have Ariel, who's been with the stamping office for nearly 4 years. So in early January, she'll reach 4 years. But on January 1st, she will be promoted to a senior policy analyst. And Tyler, who has been with the stamping office for nearly 6 years, will also be promoted to a senior policy analyst. Both of these folks were and remain very hands-on and instrumental in this new training group, and they've given tons of support and guidance to those new PAs, which is immeasurable. We are super proud of Ariel and Tyler's accomplishments and all of their growth that they've done in the time that they've been with us, and I'm really looking forward to them entering into their new roles in 2025. Any questions with any of that? No. Okay. We'll move on to the statutorily required deliverables. I think last time I butchered statutorily, I've been practicing. We continue to generate. We can just stay on this slide, Marissa. We continue to generate and deliver monthly and quarterly reports to TDI. That's the monthly late filing report, the kind and class report, and the listing of policies written through ineligible insurers, which remain outstanding after 60 days. This is commonly just called the outstanding ineligible report. Just a quick note that this report is part of our insurer analysis tasks, and it is the result of the evaluation of each insurance contract and insurer to show things that are written with ineligible insurers. And now that the 2023 annual late filing report has transitioned to enforcement, as defined by Section 981.105 of the Insurance Code, we continue to support TDI's Enforcement Division by providing details about the items in question, insurance or administrative code requirements related to specific scenarios, or any other information that they may need. So just really from that annual late filing report for 2023 in a support role, and we're looking forward to generating the 2024 annual late filing report mid-March of 25. Any questions about any of that? Okay. We'll move on to our insurer analysis. As you may recall, we are, as a stamping office, required to provide evidence to TDI that an insurer meets the eligibility requirements, as well as provide an evaluation of each insurance contract and surplus lines insurer. This is that's the section that I mentioned that outstanding and eligible report is the result of. The evidence or recommendation that an insurer meets eligibility requirements is specific to foreign or U.S. and domestic surplus lines insurers or DSLIs. As a reminder, any alien or non-U.S. insurers reflected on the NAIC quarterly listing are automatically eligible to write business in Texas per the NRRA. Year to date, the stamping office has completed 9 new insurer recommendations and one is currently in progress. Honestly, I think I just saw in the last 20 minutes that that one has been completed, but when I wrote this, it was in progress. So far this year, we have 16 new insurers or syndicates that became eligible. 7 of those were DSLIs or foreign insurers, and that's per SLTX recommendation. And 9 of those were alien insurers per the NAIC quarterly listing. And then we also had 3 alien insurers become ineligible or drop off the eligibility list. I'll move on to do a quick SMART update if there aren't any questions on the insurer analysis. Okay. We will continue, and I will repeat this as many times as I am presenting an update on SMART. We will continue technical debt releases as well as enhancements and process improvements. We are continuing to release the full delete capability transaction by transaction over the next few releases, and we've begun a deep dive of testing and confirming the much anticipated update feature. We have also rolled out some pretty significant logic and process improvements to the monthly and annual late filing report. And all of this is based on feedback that we received throughout the year and with the 2023 annual late filing report. And it's really to better handle specific human nature circumstances, really, you know, things that you wouldn't necessarily predict, but we can make process improvements. This feedback loop is going to continue, and each year we will evaluate the user's feedback and determine what processes and improvements that we can incorporate into SMART to make the filing process better and prevent false positives or logic to the late filing report itself. We have also added an additional notification method if and when an agency has a monthly or annual late filing report. So now, in addition to just receiving an email notification, users would also see a widget on their broker landing page notifying them of the report, and it also is going to suggest when an action may be necessary, right? We're just trying to give more little flags to say, hey, you may need to take a look at something, so they take care of their request or correction in the times that's required in the administrative code. Development for our policy audit and check work modules is still in progress. However, we are still continuing to perform all of these duties, however, just through a manual process until the development is complete. As we go into 2025, we're also going to begin having focus groups or roundtable discussions again so that we can get feedback about possible improvements or how best to prioritize features. This is going to allow us to base priority or the order things are released in based on the user's needs, not just our theories about what users need. And as a reminder, I always wrap up with this as well. SMART is evergreen, meaning that we will make continuous improvements and have SMART being a living application that grows from a technology and feature standpoint. Any questions with that? All right, then we'll move on to the Lemon Light video content proposal, or as the document says, client services agreement. So Marissa, if you want to just go to the, yep, there we go, perfect. If you will recall, we began using Lemon Light to create video content in mid-2023, and users can access all of these videos directly from our public-facing website. Now, each of these videos is roughly 2 to 2.5 minutes long, so being mindful of all of our time today, I'm not going to be showing any of the videos to you, but if you'd like me to share those links, just reach out to me directly and I'll send them over. Our goal is to create videos as a supplement to SMART's written user guides or as a method to highlight certain valuable or time-saving features. This also allows us to present content to our users using their preferred learning style. Some people like to read things. Some people like to have it in a video form where they can record and pause or rewind or slow it down. Going into 2025, we will be moving forward with another 10 minutes or 4 videos. The next few slides here are showing the client services agreement to complete that work in the coming year for a total of $55,800. You have received the agreement in the board packet ahead of time, so I'm not going to go through every one of these pages, but I will call out a couple of pertinent details. And this is perfect, Marissa, right there. So it is 10 minutes of video time for a total of 4 videos. And then if you can, this one spans the page. So if you want to go to the next page, Marissa, it totals $62,000, but we have a 10% discount, which brings the agreement total to $55,800. Just a couple of standard things that go into this type of development. Standard timelines for each delivery phase are dependent on when the stamping office kicks off and our response times. And our goal is to work on multiple videos concurrently, not consecutively, so that we can manage and maximize Lemon Light's development and delivery phases. So any questions on this agreement or anything that you want me to speak more deeply on?
Diane, this is Garrett Sprouse. Sure. A question. Do you track how many people are watching the existing Lemon Light videos?
We do. And our goal going into 2025 is now that we will have a total of 7 videos produced. So we'd had 3 in the last part of 2023 and then 4 created this year. We will also be tracking the usage of those while continuing to develop these 4. And that's going to help us determine really kind of to your point, how much they're being consumed, and that's going to let us know going into future years if we will continue developing videos or go with a different approach altogether. So that's in our 2025 goals.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. This is Jeff Klein, Cheyenne. Good to see you.
Yes, good to see you.
Happy holidays. Is my understanding correct? I apologize if I missed it, that the term is for a definable period. Was it 1 year? Or is it because they have an evergreen sale?
This, the way that they write their agreements, it does not have an end, but our goal is to complete the four in the 1 year. So just keep it budget wise. Yeah. Make it nice and tidy, but there is no end date on this.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay. Yeah, and that is the end of that. So if there are no other questions, I do have a recommendation. I recommend that the board approve the 2025 Lemon Light video content proposal as presented.
Thank you, Shannon. Is there a motion to approve the 2025 Lemon Light content agreement as proposed?
So moved. Leslie Liljenberg.
Second.
Vincent Cables.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Eyes have it, and the motion passes. Thank you, Cheyenne.
Thank you. This concludes my presentation.
All right. Moving on to the next item, discussion and appropriate action for the ITS director report. And at this time, I'll turn the floor over to Shalonda Stone, the director of ITS, to present the ITS director report.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Mercy, can you go next slide? So as discussed, we previously talked about milestones. None of the milestones have changed for our department. They will probably be in place for a good while as we travel through them. But next slide, Marissa. Greg talked about the, we added a new developer, but I kind of wanted to give everybody an idea of what the roles are and why we hired an additional developer to just explain it a little better. So our front end developer basically focuses on combining technology with user interfaces, basically anything the user interacts with or touch, making it more easier for the user to use. So we're excited that Casper's here to do that for us. We have most of our developers are full stack developers. They focus on the underlying architecture of the applications, the database, the server, and other softwares that we incorporate into the database. And we have one software architect, which is Jay, and he is responsible for the high-level design to ensure that basically our software meets all of our goals and all of our technology needs. He will continue to make and talk about changes that we're going to incorporate into Smart, as we are totally pushing Smart to be a what we call a serverless environment, to where we're running mostly on Azure features, which will allow us to have easier deployments. Our development will be more streamlined. So that is where basically our goal is headed, as Cheyenne talk about technical debt that'll never go away. This is part of that technical debt. As we continue to push forward, we'll continue to make enhancements to Smart. We don't want to be like we were in the past with EFS and have to do a completely different system overhaul to catch up with technology. So our goal is to stay on top of it. As technology advance, we'll advance with it. Anybody got any questions about that? About the different roles? No? Okay. Marissa, can you go to the next slide? So what's going on with IT staff? Greg kind of ruined my thunder. Casper started December the 2nd. He has had a crash course with our operations team, and he's working on settling in with our development team. He is... I'm not sure if he finished a ticket, but I do know that he was working on his first ticket with Dalton while he was here. So he had a lot of hands-on training with Dalton. And thank you to Cheyenne's team that jumped in and helped kind of catch him up to speed on what operations does, and just kind of explain to him what we do as an organization. Our current development team also attended that training. A lot of them did sit in on it, so it was a good learning, additional learning feature for them also. But as always, I want to say a big thank you to Dalton, Kenneth, and Rain for and Jay for their continued hard work on SMART. They're always working in the background to make SMART look great and keep it up to date. And I do thank you, and I do appreciate them for everything that they do. And Rodolfo, thanks for always keeping all of our computers going and helping the staff as needed. As far as staff training, we had two members of our team attended conferences this last quarter or so, and we will continue to do peer-to-peer training as we come back from conferences. The goal is to reciprocate what we learn to our peers so we can continue to grow as a team that way. As far as our standard IT updates, we had an update to our couple things in our infrastructure, a couple things we're still working on, a couple things that are done. We had security updates, which is certificate updates to our VPN. The VPN is a virtual private network. It basically allows our staff to access our network securely. It's like an additional layer of security. That was just standard. We had to change some of the certificates because Microsoft, we changed the rating on some certificates, so it allowed it to be a more secure connection. So we are going to, we added additional thresholds and warnings to the servers. We had a server that got full pretty quick. The thresholds were originally set at 95%. So if the server was 95% full, it would give us warnings, a pre-warning telling us that they're filling up. We could make adjustments, but we have since rolled that back. So if a server gets 80% full or 80% overworked, we will get a warning letting us know instead of being at 95. So that was a change that we did this last quarter also. We're working on a plan to turn our logins passwordless. Microsoft is making that change just system-wide for them, so that does affect us. It is not a bad thing. It's actually a pretty good thing. Basically, it will require users to use some type of biometric tool before accessing any features on the network. So it could be like your thumbprint on your phone or using your face to log into your phone, getting a code and inputting into the system instead of inputting in a password that stays the same. The code that you get will be something that continuously changes. One other thing that we did change was the computer token session binding. So when your computer joins to network, when anybody's computer is joined to the network, everybody gets a token that's saved on the computer, which allows the network to understand that, okay, hey, this computer is allowed onto our network. However, due to some recent cyber threats, we have basically changed the way our tokens are stored on our computers. Our staff won't have to re-authenticate the computers, but the computers themselves will re-authenticate to the network and get a fresh token in a certain amount, like rotating out more frequently instead of having a stagnant, basically a stagnant trust. And the only other thing is that we continue to review the daily logs and vulnerability and scans for any anomalies in the system. And with any access that we have, if you look to the right side, you'll see some of our stats. This is just in general page views, anything like attacks, if we blocked any attacks or blocked any attempted attacks. It shows our email inbound traffic, so you get an idea of how many incoming emails we get, how many are cleaned, how many are spam, how many after they're filtered, they're actually true emails, so they're allowed in, and how many we blocked and how many are actually fraud, which we do get fraud emails in occasionally. And this is all done through Proofpoint and Iron Scales. These are basically the numbers that's filtered out for the month. This is on a monthly basis. The page views are every 10, it's a 10-day average. And then the email inbound stats are monthly averages. And cleaned emails going out of our system in about a month, we have about 14,600-ish emails that go out. That number fluctuates depending on the month. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But I just kind of wanted to give everybody an overview of what's going on. Does anybody have any questions? That's all I have.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion or any questions on this item? Ms. Stone, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
No, sir, I do not.
Thank you, Shalonda. Moving on to item 9, the executive session, discussion, deliberation of performance, compensation, and benefits of the executive director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas, Personnel Matters, Texas Government Code, Section 551.074, discussion and review of the general counsel contract, consultation with attorney, Texas Government Code, Section 551.0712. At this time, the board will adjourn this open session to convene a closed executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meeting Act, Government Code, Section 551.074, to deliberate the performance, compensation, and benefits of the Executive Director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas. Only board members, legal counsel, TDI representatives, and necessary executive staff will be participating during this executive session. We will reconvene in open session after the executive session to vote on executive session agenda items as appropriate. The open meeting is adjourned at 1:17 p.m.
So back to the roll. This is our little Friday the 13th mystery going on. So we have Pete and Leslie who are participating via Teams. Leslie Milvo is still not here. And Ezekiel Nathal is here. Great. We have a quorum eventually. So item 10, the board vote on executive session items. Do any board members have comments or questions to present in public session concerning the closed agenda item regarding performance compensation benefits of the executive director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas? All right. Hearing none, based on the recommendation from the executive committee and our closed session discussions today, do I have a motion for the board of directors to approve the following compensation and benefits for the executive director of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas, Mr. Greg Brandon? Payment of an annual bonus in the amount of 25% of the 2024 salary with payment no later than December 31st, 2024. A raise of 4% of the annual salary to be effective January 1st, 2024. And payment of deferred compensation in the amount of $23,500 plus $7,500 catch-up with payment to be made no later than January
31st, 2025.
That is correct. Thank you, Donna. Please amend that. We'll go with a 4% increase to be effective January 1st, 2025.
Jason Cables will make that motion.
Thank you, Jason. Great. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Do any board members have comments or questions to present in public session concerning the closed agenda item regarding the review of the general counsel contract?
This is Vice Chair Jeff Klein. I think it's reasonable in its scope and monthly retainer amount, and we value the continuity of the firm with Stan Strickland's departure.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other comments or questions? All right. Based on our closed session discussions today, do I have a motion for the board of directors to approve the renewal of the general counsel contract as discussed?
I'll move.
All right. Second,
Leslie Miltenberg.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes have it and the motion passes, which brings us to the last and everybody's favorite agenda item. There being no other business before the board, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mark. All right. Is there a second? Right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes have it. The meeting is adjourned at 2:09 on December 13th, 2024. And thank you, everyone, and have a happy holidays.
Happy holidays.